from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the richness of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God.
Oh, Father, we want to declare to you this morning that we are a people who live in darkness, and we are a people who live in a broken world. And so today, as we gather around your word, we pray that your word will speak to us. We pray that your word will shine your light into our darkness, and that your word will bring peace and wholeness to our brokenness. So, Lord, pierce through our stubborn hearts. Let your Holy Spirit melt our hearts down in order that we may understand truly the grace of God that is contained in his word. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. In the church calendar today, January the 6th, we celebrate Epiphany. And if you want to count backwards from January the 6th to December the 25th, you guessed it is 12 days. And so this is the original idea in which the 12 days of Christmas is based on. And sometimes January 6th does not appear on a Sunday. This year it does. So therefore, in other years, we celebrate Epiphany Sunday on the Sunday that's closest to January the 6th. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek word that means manifestation or appearance. So at its basic core, Epiphany celebrates the manifestation or the appearance of God to the world early in the new year. And so those people who thought through the church calendar made it very emphatic that in some ways we would receive an epiphany of God, an appearance of God, a manifestation of God on the first Sunday of the new year. Now, in some Latino cultures, it is not called Epiphany, but it's called Three Kings Day. Three Kings Day. They celebrate the manifestation or the appearance of the baby Jesus to the Magi from the east. The Magi. So that's why they call it Three Kings Day. Yet, It cannot be confirmed that there were specifically three monarchs or three kings visiting the baby Jesus in that house in Bethlehem. However, it can be confirmed that they brought him three gifts. Let's remember those three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We must get beyond the sentimentality of the Christmas greeting card picture when we read about this magi. Firstly, the New Testament Greek word is magi. It is not kings, it is not wise men. And because they are called magi, from which the word magic or magician comes from, in the first place, these people are not people who we normally associate with in terms of what I call the Christian faith. Because these people, these magi, are actually astrologer magicians who look at the stars, who see how the stars lined up so that they can predict something in your lives. And you are quite conversant of all those permutations and whatever astrologers tell us, and it's in the newspaper. The miraculous thing about this magi is that they are captivated by one star as they look to the skies. One star which I would call the Christmas star. And I want to be emphatic about this. In the Old Testament, the practice of divination and sorcery is forbidden. Leviticus 19:26. And so when these magi from the east turn up at Jerusalem, King Herod and his advisors are so disturbed. In fact, it is said in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, that the whole of Jerusalem was overwhelmed by this particular visit. How can these sorcerers come to our city? Don't they know that their practices are not welcome in our culture? Secondly, these magi come not from the west, not from the north, not from the south, but from the east. And the east is where Persia and Babylon are. They are pagan. Pagan meaning they worship many gods, but not the one God of Israel. So as some people say, they are polytheistic, not monotheistic. And Israel is to have nothing to do with this pagan, polytheistic culture. And you will recall the first commandment of the Ten Commandments: you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. So I'm destroying the sentimentality of the Christmas greeting card this morning. The picture of wise men in a stable in Bethlehem is not an acceptable scene in the Israel that Jesus is born into. These magi, these pagan magi, these astrologers are banned from being in the same room with the chosen people of Israel. These magi are enemies, not friends. They come from one of the nations of the east, and one of the or two nations of the east were the nations who subjected Israel to exile in Babylon 700 years earlier. Yet, the story of the Magi is present in the Christmas story. The story of outsiders, when it comes to the point of view of Israel, the story of outsiders who bring their gifts to Jesus. One of the assigned readings today in the church lectionary is Ephesians chapter 3, 1 to 12. And Ian helped us read this. And I just want to hone in on four verses here, three verses. In reading these, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So the author of Ephesians, Paul, is making it clear that in other generations in the Old Testament, the mystery of Christ was not made known yet. And because the mystery of Christ was not made known yet, Old Testament Israel treats with suspect people like the Magi who come from the East. The Old Testament forbids mixing with pagan astrologers from the East. And then the mystery of Christ is revealed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The word Gentiles is the word in the New Testament used for non-Jews. These Magi are non-Jews. They are outsiders. And the prevalent philosophy in Israel in those days was, we simply cannot trust outsiders. We simply cannot allow outsiders to live with us unless they become Jewish proselytes. But Paul now says in these verses in Ephesians that the mystery of Jesus Christ has been revealed. Non-Jews, Gentiles, are now heirs together with Israel. So, whether we have Jewish origins or not, we have become members together of the one body. This was a big deal in the time of Paul, because Jews and non-Jews coming together was not a common sight in those days. And so the message of Paul simply is this: we can be born in Babylon, we can be born in Persia, we can be born in Beijing, we can be born in Malawi, we can be born in Sydney, Australia. We can be born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. We can be born anywhere on this globe. But we can still be part of God's family. We can share what God has promised to us in Christ Jesus. The message of the Magi in the Christmas story is that race and culture are no longer criteria in becoming God's people. Our God is a God who welcomes outsiders. So, to repeat, King Herod and Jerusalem would have seen those Magi as representatives of the enemies from the East. The empires of Babylon and Persia from the East subjected Israel to exile 700 years earlier. So for 700 years, Israel treated people from the East with suspect. Now, ethnic distinction is nothing new. All we have to do is go to some parts of the world in which people live in, some people call this ethnic enclaves or culture enclaves, and we can see how sometimes it is so difficult to bring people from one situation to another situation. Both my parents came from a Chinese, Buddhist, and Taoist background in what was known as Malaya in those days. This was a very distinct ethnic culture. And by God's grace, they gave their lives to Christ in the 1950s. British missionaries came to what was known as Malaya then to share the gospel. After World War II, there were a lot of British military personnel who became missionaries because their eyes were open to the world out there, and they felt sent to these faraway lands to share the gospel. So Mom and Dad tell my brother and I stories of how British missionaries would come to live their lives among them, play badminton with them, teach them English, do many things with them, and how through this the word of God, the gospel, was communicated to my parents and their families. At Christmas, we read of God becoming a human being and making his dwelling among us human beings. At Christmas, we say God has made himself known through this human being named Jesus Christ. This God comes from a faraway place to live with us. That's the message of Christmas. And in my parents' day, these British missionaries came from a faraway place to live with them in Malaya. My mother got to go to school because these missionaries opened a school to teach young girls to read and write. And like Jesus Christ, these missionaries shed their lives with my parents. God made himself known to my parents and their families through these missionaries. God broke down human, cultural, and ethnic barriers through the lives of these missionaries. So the story of the Magi in the Christmas story tells us that through Jesus Christ, Jesus comes to make himself known to all human beings, not just Israel. God comes to save more than ethnic Israel. Through Jesus Christ, God comes to save the nations of the world, even those past enemies of Israel who live in the East. Through Jesus Christ, God comes to save those outsiders. Christ comes to bring salvation. Christ comes to bring reconciliation. So I find that the story of the Magi is very inspiring, and I want us to read how these Magi respond to this baby Jesus. It blows your mind that they would actually consider a baby to be a king. So let's read together how this pagan astrologer Magi respond to this tiny little baby. Let's read together. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper or Communion or the Eucharist. You call it what you want from your church background. I like to call it Jesus' meal. And in this meal, we celebrate how Jesus gave himself for us. The bread is going to signify his body broken for us. The cup is going to signify the blood he shed on the cross for us. And what does blood signify? Blood signifies life. Jesus gives his life for others in order that we might live. Jesus gives his life to us so that human barriers can be broken down. And I believe these human barriers is not just human barriers between us and God, but I believe these human barriers are also barriers between us human beings. Jesus truly breaks down the barriers through the cross. We live in a broken world. We do not need to go far to see how people misunderstand each other and take it out on others. War, ethnic hatred, and brokenness is part of the world, the broken world we live in. And this meal, okay, I truly believe that this meal is a hospitable meal. It's an open meal even for outsiders. I pray, and I hope we pray, that others will join us in this meal today. In fact, after we finish this meal, I will lead us in a prayer for people who would be here but for their health problems. Because with this meal, we are not only looking inwards into ourselves, we are looking outwards. We are extending this meal to other people. And so I believe that when we partake of this meal, Jesus is challenging us to go out and invite other people to be part of this meal. And I believe that when Jesus establishes this meal, he establishes it not to promote war or ethnic hatred or brokenness or sinfulness, if you like. When Jesus establishes this meal, it is a meal that he has chosen to represent hope and salvation to a lost world. Jesus comes to bring the whole world salvation. Jesus comes to bring reconciliation, not division. Jesus comes to bring the whole world together. Our God is a God who welcomes outsiders. Let us pray. And so, Lord, we are about to partake of this meal. We'd like to thank you, Lord, that through this meal, Jesus reminds us that he gave himself for us and for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life with God. And this is the meal of that reality. So Lord, we just like to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ as we celebrate this meal. And we pray, Lord, that one day we will have lots more people partaking of this meal with us when we celebrate this meal. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen.